Today, we're talking about something that I don't know if I've ever talked about here on the podcast, but it's something that I've struggled with for a long time. And I'm only recently, probably in the last year or so, kind of coming out of it and getting to the other side and really finding a lot of freedom and a lot of victory in this area. And so that's why today I want to share with you my story and kind of my journey with body shame and body image. This is something that I have struggled with for as long as I can remember, and I'm sure you've faced this at some point in your life in some way. I'm sure you've had to face some unwanted thoughts about your body, or maybe you're uncomfortable in your body. I know most of us are moms here, and our bodies go through a lot of changes, and it can be really hard to process that and feel at home in our post-baby bodies. And so I just really want to open up this conversation. I'm not here today as somebody who has, you know, a three-step process to overcoming body shame. I'm here as a friend going, hey, I struggle too. I'm in it too, but here's what I've learned. So I hope that you get something out of this episode. If anything, I hope that you find comfort in knowing that you're not the only one. And I just hope that you know, maybe leave feeling a little more free today. So let's get into it. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together.
Interested in homeschooling? Classical Conversations can help you lead your child to a world of possibilities by equipping you with a proven curriculum and support from a local community of homeschool families. You're their first teacher. Be their best teacher. Learn how to make homeschooling doable at classicalconversations.com/joy. That's classicalconversations.com/joy.
Okay, let's talk about body shame. I know that this is not my usual topic, and it's not something that I'm going to, I mean, I don't think it's something that I'm going to start talking about a lot. Maybe we'll see, but I just really, for the last month or so, I've really felt God pressing on my heart to talk about this. And I'm not, you know, coming at this from a place of like, here's a three-step system to overcome body shame. I'm more coming at this as like, hey, I'm in this with you, and I'm not fully on the other side, but I'm experiencing some freedom, and I want you to experience freedom too. And one thing I know, and one thing that I have felt as I've prepared for this, to talk about this, is I felt a lot of resistance. Like, I've come, you know, and sat down at the computer to write an outline, and then I outline my notes, and I'm like, no, I don't want to, maybe I shouldn't talk about this. And then I like delete it. And then I come back like a week later and I do the same thing. And then I'm like, maybe I shouldn't talk about it. And then even today, like when I sat down to record this, I had a minute where I was like, I read through my notes and I was like, you know what? I don't need to talk about this. Like, this is a motherhood podcast where we talk about like home stuff and mindset stuff. Like, why do I need to talk about body shame? I'm not that girl, you know? But then I realized and I remembered that when I am feeling resistance with, you know, talking about something, that means that that's something that's worth talking about. And it probably means that some people are going to experience some freedom. And so that's why I'm here today. Just to hopefully help you experience some freedom, because the enemy, that's exactly what he doesn't want. He doesn't want women walking around experiencing freedom in their bodies and, you know, throwing off the shame that we've carried for so long. Like, that's what he doesn't want. And so I don't know if you've ever experienced or if you've ever looked at body shame through, like, with a spiritual eye or with a spiritual perspective, but I would encourage you to, because it really brings a lot to light, and it really changes how you approach your body and approach body image. And so I would encourage you, start looking at it with a spiritual eye and with a spiritual perspective, because it'll change a lot. And I think that it's easy to separate our body struggles and our body image struggles from our relationship with God, but he cares about that too. You know, he made our bodies. He made our bodies good, and our bodies are temples, and he made us, and he formed us, and he knitted us together. And he doesn't want us to be walking through this life in a body that he gave us that we hate. Like, that is not what he wants for us. And he cares so much about that. And I think that if you believe that God doesn't care about you feeling free in your body, then you've been told a lie, because God wants you. He cares about your body. He made your body how it's supposed to look, and he wants you to feel free in your body. So that's why we're here today talking about this. Before we go any further, I want to share just a little bit of my story with body shame. The first time that I remember feeling self-conscious about my body was probably in second or third grade. It was in elementary school. And I remember just feeling aware of my, like, soft tummy, which, I mean, what, like, second or third grader doesn't have somewhat of a soft tummy? But I remember just feeling aware. And I continued to have moments all throughout growing up. I continued to just be very aware of my body and how it was maybe different from other people. Like, I developed curves before a lot of my friends did. And I remember being a cheerleader in high school and my cheer coach saying, yeah, maybe we should add an extra inch to her skirt. And I know that she was just looking out for me, and she just wanted, you know, my butt to be covered, like, whatever. But it's funny how we internalize those things, especially as young women. And that just was another reminder that, like, oh, my body's a little bit different. Like, my body, I'm not super skinny, which for so many of us, like, we, for so long, we grew up with that being the picture of beauty, is like, skinny is better, which we don't even need to go there, because we know that. Yeah. So fast forward to becoming a mom. I had my first baby when I was 21, so I was still I was very young, and I hadn't even really spent that much time in my adult body to get comfortable with it, and then I went through the changes that pregnancy and having a baby inevitably bring, and so it was just like, I had already kind of struggled with my body, and then, you know, having a baby at 21 definitely does a lot on your body. And I didn't even realize it at the time, but I was, like, the quote unquote bounce back mom. I didn't even really try, but with my first two babies, I did. I lost weight pretty easily. Like, I didn't fully go back to my pre-baby weight, you know, whatever that was, but I lost weight and it was fine. And I remember I got lots of compliments all the time. And as I tell this story, I'm just giving you the full picture. So I got lots of compliments, like, after my babies about, you know, how great I looked or how skinny I was, which, by the way, like, can we just not comment on people's, like, we just don't need, we can say, like, you look amazing, you're glowing, motherhood looks so good on you. We don't need to talk about the size of our bodies, because with my first baby, I lost weight because I was depressed. And so you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But anyways, I got compliments a lot, and I would always brush it off like, oh no, I didn't bounce back. What are you talking about? You know, people would say, oh my gosh, you bounced back. I would be like, oh no. And then I look back at pictures now and I'm like, I kind of did. And I didn't even realize it. But then came Archie, which is the whole point of the story. And after my third baby, there was zero bouncing back despite my best efforts. And with that, I got zero compliments about the way that I looked postpartum with Archie. And that did a number on me mentally. I was so unaware of how much I was attaching my worth to what my body looked like until I wasn't receiving the same compliments that I did before. And so then became the journey that I've been on for the last year or so of detaching my worth from my body and focusing on my health and nourishing my body without really caring about what it looks like. And, you know, it's one of those things that we all know in our heads that our worth is more than our body, but then we've spent our entire lives subliminally internalizing an entirely different message, a message that says, your body is what counts. Your body is what makes you pretty. Your body is what makes you valuable. And so when we come face to face with that, it's hard to confront. And that's what really brought me to this point of, I am fed up with feeling like this. I am fed up with caring so much, being so consumed with what my body looks like in the clothes that I wear, or how I'll be perceived because of my body. And I know that I didn't lose Archie's baby weight. I still haven't lost Archie's baby weight. And that's okay, because this is what my body needs to be right now. And I am more than my body. It's easy to say those things, right? But it's so hard to actually live that out. And for me, I found that I was starting to, it was affecting everything. Body shame was affecting everything. Like, mentally, I was kind of spiraling. And it was affecting how I showed up on social media. I didn't want to film videos of myself because I didn't like the way that I looked. Because I felt like, oh, by this time I should have lost more weight. And I would look back at pictures or videos of myself, you know, that like 6 months postpartum with my other babies and go, yeah, I should have lost. Yeah, I knew it. I knew I should have lost more weight by now. What's different? What's going on? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Like, why can't it just be like it was before? Why can't the weight just come off easily like it did before? And I stopped getting in pictures, and I stopped really doing it. Like, it just was affecting how I lived my daily life. I started growing my hair out because I thought that that would hide my face better and make my face not look, you know, as chubby or whatever. I stopped wearing fun clothes because I didn't want to bring unnecessary attention to myself. Like, this is really how much it was affecting me. Like, I started just wearing, like, really basic clothes because I was like, I didn't want to wear bright things or colorful things because I just didn't want to draw attention to myself. And I was basically a shell of who I really am. And it all stemmed from this deeply rooted insecurity and belief in my subconscious that I wouldn't be liked as much because I failed to lose the baby weight. That was the belief that my subconscious brain had believed that. Like, I don't actually believe that. I know that I am worth just as much, and that not losing baby weight is not a failure. Like, it's, there's so many other factors at play. Like, there's hormones, there's breastfeeding, there's all the things. And, but it's my subconscious brain believed that. And that belief seeped over into all of my decision making. And I know, like, when I'm sitting here and I'm saying it, I'm like, this sounds so silly. It sounds so, like, I know that you would probably say, "Of well, Jenna, no, like, your body is, like, the least important thing about you. Your body, you're so much more than that." And I know that it's easy to, like, to say that, but I want you to get honest with yourself. Like, what are you, what is your subconscious brain believing about your body? And how is that affecting your life? Because chances are you've got some beliefs that need to be rewired. And so now I'm on this journey of actively rewriting and rewiring those neural pathways in my brain about what I believe about my body, because our brains are powerful. And I'm not a neuroscientist, so I am not going to try to explain to you in all the scientific terms what our brains can do. But in layman's terms, basically, our brains create pathways and they create our belief systems. And we get, like, the more we believe, the more we think something, the more those pathways, like, the deeper they are carved into our brain. But the cool thing is that we can change those pathways, and it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of course correcting, but we can change those pathways. And so that's what I'm doing. And this looks like, I'll stand in front of the mirror, I'll be getting dressed, and I'll start to pick myself apart. And I'll just stop and I'll say, "We don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore." Like, out loud, "We don't do that anymore." Or I'll put on something, I'll pick something out of my closet and I'm like, "Oh, I'm so excited to wear this. I love this dress," or "I love this shirt," or whatever it is. And then I'll look in the mirror and I go, "Oh, but it, does it make my arms look fat? Or I don't know." And then I'll stop. "No, we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. We don't make decisions based off of our insecurities, even down to what we wear. We don't make decisions based off of our insecurities." And so that's what I'm doing now, is just rewriting those pathways in my brain and what I believe about my body. Jess Conley, who, if you haven't heard of her, she wrote an amazing book called Breaking Free from Body Shame, which, if you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's so, so good, and it's a great first step. Like, that's your homework. If you are listening and you're like, "Yes, I can relate. Body shame has been a struggle for as long as I can remember," your homework, your step one, is to read Breaking Free from Body Shame, because Jess does an amazing job of viewing our bodies and what we believe about our bodies from a spiritual lens, like we talked about earlier, with a spiritual perspective. And she brings a lot of things to light, and she gives you a lot of really practical tools and takeaways. And so I can't recommend it enough. Read Breaking Free from Body Shame. That's your step one. But something that she says a lot, she says, "Sometimes you have to act free before you feel free." And so that's what I do every day. And that's your step two. So step one, read Breaking Free from Body Shame. Step two, start acting free. Do the things that you would do as your most confident self. You know, I've started showing up on social media more. That's one of the reasons why I decided to come back to Instagram, is because part of the reason why I left Instagram was in part because of my insecurity, and I just felt like it was easier to not show up. But I've just decided to not let my insecurity make decisions for me, to not let the lies of the enemy win in my mind. And kind of just kick him in the face. And every time we act free before we feel free, we kick the enemy in the face. And I love kicking the enemy in the face. And I think that we should do that more. Let's be women that kicked the enemy in the face. You know, I started showing up on social media more, and it's been really fun. I got my hair cut short. I like my hair short, but I felt like I couldn't have my hair short because I felt like literally this is so bizarre. It's crazy to me that body shame affected so much even into like how I wear my hair. But I got my hair cut. That was another way that I just kicked the enemy in the face. And you know, I'm wearing bright clothes again. It's another way that I'm kicking the enemy in the face, and I'm just acting free. Like I'm just, when it doesn't mean that I don't feel insecure. It doesn't mean that body shame doesn't start to creep in, but I don't let it win anymore. And you know, I ask myself, what would free Jenna do? What would the most confident version of me do? She would wear the dress. She would get dressed and go, yep, looks great, moving on with my day. Not going to stand in the mirror for 10 minutes and pick apart every piece of my body. You know, and she's not walking by the mirror picking apart her body. She's walking by the mirror with a smile on her face because she likes her smile. And she's free. So, you know, and the more that I act free, the more that I start to feel free too. And this has been a journey for me over the last year, but really the last few months, I've really just gotten serious about it. And I just got to a point where I just kind of felt fed up and felt like my body shame and insecurity is keeping me from so much. And I don't want to, you know, be 5 years down the road and still be stuck in this place. So I'm going to start now by acting free. And I guess, if anything, here's your permission to act free too. You know, maybe body shame has stolen years of memories from you and your kids. Maybe you sit on the sidelines. You don't jump in the pool. You don't play the games because you're insecure about what you're going to look like when you run, or because you're insecure about what you look like in a swimsuit. Maybe body shame has stolen years of memories. Maybe it's stolen your confidence and you snap at your husband when he tries to compliment you, or you deflect and you don't just say thank you anymore. Maybe you're tired of feeling this way too, but you don't even know where to start. I want you to know that you're not alone and you're not the only one. And you can be free from body shame too. This is too important to let another summer, another year go by still shackled by body shame. Amen. I want to pray for you real quick before we go. God, I thank you for my sister, and I pray that you would just be with her. Lord, if body shame is something that she is struggling with, if she is feeling just uncomfortable in her body, not at home in her body, Lord, I pray that you would remind her that her body is made good and it's made by you. I pray that you would be with her as she begins this declaration of freedom over her body and over her thoughts surrounding her body. Lord, I pray that she would begin to think good thoughts, that she would remember how beautiful her body is. And I pray that this would be something that is not a struggle that she has to continue struggling with for years and years and years down the road, but this would be the day that she begins to make a change, that she begins to be free, to have victory over this. We claim freedom. We claim the victory. I pray a supernatural confidence over her, and I pray that you would remind her of her worth, that she finds her worth in you and in nothing and no one else. Lord, I pray that you'd be with her. I pray that you would bless her. I pray that you'd bless her home and her children and her family. And you would just bring so much joy to her. God, that she would, you would renew the joy that she once had in her body. God, that she would begin to look at her body with loving eyes, look at her body with joyful eyes. God, I thank you for her, and I pray that you would bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.